Did you receive my email after all, Valerie?
No.
Because initially I had the email address that you gave me, I probably misspelled it. I tried it twice, but it was returned to me, and then I checked with Edna. She gave me a different email address for you.
Well, I look forward to hearing from you.
All right, and that's what I did yesterday. So I sent it to the alternative, so to speak, email address from you.
I'll look for it.
All right. And I believe we have somebody else join in. If so, you're welcome to the call, and please say your name and location. However, you're welcome to the call. It is 4 minutes till the hour, and we might be live on right now on BBS Radio, not certain. We had another call come in. Welcome to the BBS call. Please say your name and location.
Phil, New Orleans.
Hello, Phil. Good evening. How are you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
All right. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Phil.
Hi.
Hi, Phil.
Your family loves you, Phil.
Hi, Phil.
Hi, Phil.
Hi.
Good evening to the next person who just joined in. This is the BBS call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Cindy in Virginia.
Hello, Cindy. Well, welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Good evening. Welcome to the caller who just joined in. Please say your name and location.
Nancy in Michigan. Glad to be here.
Hi, Nancy. Thanks for being here.
Bruce in Minnesota.
Good evening and welcome to the call. And that's Mike coming back. Welcome back, Mike.
The point of the two-point is, again, it is just a way.
Hi.
Yes, Ren.
You can mute the tones tonight, right?
Yes, I can.
So I don't have to worry about it. Right. Okay, thank you.
Good evening, welcome to the BBS call. Please say your name and location.
Yes, hello, this is Ray from Nevada.
I heard two people talking. Ray came out with, hi, Ray, welcome to the call. And the other gentleman, say your name and location. Hi, Edward. Good evening.
Is Carla on yet?
Not over here, no. That I know of.
Is Daphne on?
Negative. Welcome to those people who just joined in. This is the BBS call. Please say your name and location.
Gary, Utah.
Hi, Gary. Good evening. And those other people who just joined in, welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hello, everybody.
I hear somebody from San Luis Obispo in the background.
Hi, Ron.
Hi, Ron. How are you doing?
Pretty good. 32 online.
All right. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Mark in California.
Hello, Mark. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
And more people have joined in. Please say your name and location. I hear Suzanne in Columbus. And who was that gentleman?
Aaron.
Welcome to the call. It is the other one, 172746.
Flagstaff, how are you doing,
Hi, Steve. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well.
All right. Thanks for being here again. And we had another person just join in. Welcome to the BBS call. Please say your name and location. Welcome to the call. Good evening. Welcome to the BBS call. Can you see the application?
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome
to the call.
Thank you.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Can you see? Say your name and location.
Claire from Montreal.
Do I hear Carla Rupert?
Hold a second.
Muted.
Right. Good evening. Welcome to the call, Carla.
Carla?
Yes.
Carla, I can hear you.
I can hear you too.
Now we just muted everybody. Let me just say we're live on BBS Radio. And welcome everybody to our Monday night call. It's going to be a really special call. I'm going to let Heis check people in for the next 2 or 3 minutes. You can hear them live. And if you're listening on BBS, you're always welcome to come into our conference call as well. And I don't know. I think it's a different experience on the phone than on the Internet. The energy travels differently. So you might try it and compare. In the meantime, I'm going to unmute everybody. Let's see if Terry's there, right?
Correct. Yes, he is.
And Daphne is okay. There. Hello, Daphne.
No, I have not seen Daphne yet, Vin.
I just called her. She said she was checking in. Oops, hang on. Now my phone's ringing.
Have we had more people join in?
Muted.
Rock to the call, please say your name and location.
Hi, I'm Jody in Bellevue.
Hi, Jody, welcome to the call.
I'm trying to listen on the internet and now there's music going all the time.
That is correct, because the call hasn't started yet, so there's some music being played online.
And there can't, nobody can
get me
here on the online.
I'm Steve from Concord, California.
Who's this from California?
Steve from Concord, California.
Hi, Steve, how are you?
Fine, how are you doing today?
Good.
Great.
Now, back to if you go online, Jody, you do have, there is a phone number somewhere posted that you can call into to the studio at BBS, and then you they can put you online.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're waiting for you.
We had more people come in, box to the BBS, so please say your name and location.
Sandy in Spokane, Washington.
Hi, Sandy, good evening. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Shalia, Florida.
Good evening, Shalia. What is your name, sorry?
Shalia.
Shalia. Welcome to the call, Shalia.
Thank you.
All right.
Hi, Katie in Atlanta.
Hi, Katie. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Thanks
is
for
that,
being here.
Is that Katie in Atlanta?
It is. Hi,
Lynn. Hi, Katie.
I'm sorry if I missed your call. I was
jumping
in with the doctor.
That's all right.
I hope you have a great doctor.
He was wonderful. He's such a sweet man, so thank you.
Right. You had more people join in? Welcome to the BBS call. If you ever do so, please say your name and location.
Sherry from Michigan.
Hi, Sherry. Good evening.
Good evening.
Muted.
All right. We're all here, Erwin.
Yes, I just muted everybody. And what were you going to say, Hi?
Nothing. I was going to say we are all here.
All right. Daphne's here. Daphne, are you there?
I am here, yes.
Uh-huh. And Marilyn, would you unmute yourself, please?
Star 6, Marilyn.
Yes.
So, Terry, are you there?
I'm here.
Marilyn, why don't you tell Terry? Why don't you quiet the dings? Okay.
Four. Yes.
So, I let a certain cat out of the barrel earlier about Terry. Something she's never said, and we don't know if this is true. So you can just take it as fantasy. But Marilyn provoked me, and I thought I'd let Marilyn share what happened.
Excuse me, Vin. We don't have the recorder on yet.
Oh, good man. Thank you. Oh, God.
This conference is being recorded.
There you go.
This is 6:04 p.m. on Monday, September 24th. This is the Winfrey conference call, and the Winfrey, Terry Brown, Daphne, Karen Donis, Carla Ruckert conference call. And Marilyn, are you there?
I'm here, but I don't want to share. I don't remember what you called me, but it wasn't very nice.
He was
being mean to me, Terry.
You're on the wrong subject, Marilyn. Vin, please, you continue.
So, Marilyn,
I didn't come in earlier, huh? So Marilyn, I know what
yes,
this is
you
about.
Should have.
Marilyn, you're not going to share how it all started, right?
You mean you're going to tell her, I'm supposed to tell her that we were talking about her in St. Catherine?
No. What about husbands, you know, and
Oh. No, you go ahead. You're much better at this.
No, but you should say how you provoked it, okay?
I didn't do a thing.
I just
was telling you if you were too loud on the phone.
Janice provoked it.
And then,
there you go. When he picked on me.
Okay, she said I was.
Maybe it was a compliment.
she said I was too loud on the phone, but the way she said it, I said she sounds like a former wife that was henpecking me from some other lifetime. And then she said, and you're not married, are you?
And I said, and you're not married because.
And then I reminded myself of a Socrates quote. And I shared the Socrates quote.
About Ben Tippy?
Well, wait a second. The Socrates quote was, if a man has a good wife, he'll have a lot of joy in his life. But if he doesn't have a good wife, he'll end up being a philosopher. And after I said that, here's the cat I let out of the bag. Terry has this feeling that she was Socrates' wife.
That's right. And I knew Plato, and like that, I was his wife, and he was a very difficult husband. He would stay out all night, and he wouldn't bring home any money.
That sounds like
support.
Win. Yeah.
And so Terry believes that this guy, who many of you heard the call, John Sanborn, who has been a long-term friend of Terry's, that lived in Terry's living room for 30 years, and that was a writer, and she was always, like, supportive of him and, paying the bills so he could stay home and write. And it was like she thought he was Socrates. And, you know, I studied it, and I studied Socrates, and I studied John. Not only did they look alike, but they said the same kinds of things. They looked like they thought the same way. So I thought it might have been true. Now, there was another interesting thing, and that is Carla and I have a common friend with Terry, but Carla introduced me to him, and his name was Jean-Claude Coven. And Jean-Claude Coven wrote a book where he was trying to simplify the raw material into a parable. And he lives in Palm Springs. So Terry and I, when we would drive across the country, we would always call Jean-Claude and meet him at Starbucks and chat with him for a bit. And one time, I mentioned that John Sanborn to Jean-Claude Coven. And Jean-Claude said immediately, I want to meet that guy. I want to come to Sedona and meet that guy. He sounds really interesting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I notice things like that. And so we had this postulate that maybe John was Socrates. And then I go on the internet, and what do I find? But Jean-Claude has an incredible resemblance to guess who? Can you guess who, Carla?
Plato.
Plato.
Yes.
Now, we don't know if any of that's true. We never asked in a channeling, and I don't think they would tell us. They don't like to tell us things like that. But,
Terry, I just have one thing. I just want to sympathize with you for living a whole incarnation being named Xanthippe.
Living a whole incarnation being what?
Xanthippe. That's the name of Socrates' wife.
Yes, that's right.
Isn't that an awful name?
Yeah, but you know what? I actually don't mind the name, and I actually have a great affinity for Plato and their work that they were doing and the seeking, the truth-seeking that they were doing and what is the good. And I really had a strong affinity with that.
Yeah, it's a philosophy that has lasted 2,400 years, and will probably last forever.
Now,
it's interesting that, that he was a really, truly man of the people. As you say, he stayed out all night. He was out of, he was in the market talking.
Right.
Now, you know, John lived alone in Sedona. Terry moved him to Sedona, and he was 80, in his 80s.
He was 88.
88, and he would go into the local health food store, and he would be just like Socrates. Everybody knew him. They loved him, and he would be. He engaged people in a similar way that Socrates engaged people. Terry, give an example of how John would engage people. You're better.
Well, he would go up to people that were working on the sidewalk, and he'd say, "You've been working on this for 3 days now. I think I might need it done sooner." And they'd all laugh. Everybody cheered up. It's like he'd go up to a clerk in the store and he'd say, "Really, I think you've done enough work for today. You can go home now."
Love it.
Go ahead, Terry.
Yeah, his main question was, how can there be? And he was always, always trying to think of how there could be and philosophizing about it. And he was also trying to rewrite that earlier writer in Greece, that Homer. He was translating it from Greek, and he was rewriting the English translation, and it was really jumping out on the page. It was beautiful. And he had a daughter that was studying at Stanford Theater, and he wrote a Greek play for her to produce at Stanford, and it was very popular. He did a wonderful job.
So, Carla, do you think Jean-Claude could have been Plato? Can you see him being Plato?
I certainly can.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes, I can see that.
I mean, just point something out. What did Plato do? He sat at the feet of Socrates as one of his students, and then Socrates never wrote anything, and then Plato wrote down Socrates' philosophies and made them famous. And what did Jean-Claude do this lifetime? He studied the law of one material and was a student of Carla's work, and he went back and said, "I'm going to try to simplify this so people can understand it." And he wrote a book. What was the book he wrote?
Going Deeper.
So it's kind of like a similar thing, you know? He's a really brilliant guy. but he didn't come up with the core material. He was taking somebody that came up with the core material, and he used his brilliance to bring it to the public. And he go look at a picture of Plato, and look at Jean Claude, and if you find the right statue, they definitely look similar. It's kind of amazing. So, let me introduce Carla to people who are hearing her for the first time, because I know there's people that have been checking into our calls, and this is our first introduction to Carla for some of those people. So, if you already know Carla, just be patient so that we can bring the new people in. Carla is one of the most... Now, she doesn't... She's very humble, so it's not. She doesn't really like me to speak about her in expletives. I can feel that. But
I'm not used to it. You've
gotten used to it, okay?
Yeah.
But in 1981 through 84... she was making movies and experimenting with this guy, Don Elkins, about talking to space people. And she did make a movie that actually was produced called, and she was actually topless in the movie, okay? One of the first...
That was not the plan, but it just happened.
It just happened, right. The woman who was supposed to play the star backed off, and Carla volunteered.
She read the script the day that she came in, which was the day before she began. She was really prepared, you know. And she says, I am not a comedian. I am a star. And she just dropped it and just went back to Atlanta.
Hey, by the way, Daphne, are you there?
I am here.
Where would she go?
Well, everyone else is talking, and, you know, since we're talking about former wives and husbands, we might as well let Daphne say hello.
Hi.
Hey, Daphne. Really good to see you.
Hi, Carla. It's nice to be with you.
Yeah, it is. So, when have you decided who I am in a past life? I think I was the one who took out the garbage for Plato.
So. Well, you know what? I'd be afraid I'd be violating your free will if I even considered it.
I paid no attention to it anyway.
Right. But I'll tell you, there was one channeling we did. I don't know if it was Terry or Daphne, and they did say, Carla and I. You and Carla had worked together really closely at some other past lifetime. It might have even been on the...
Or Daphne and I.
No, you and I. You and I.
Yeah. We have to have worked together before because it's so easy.
Yeah. And we were working for the liberation of the universe at that time. And I was going to kind of use some expletives. Carla was busy making topless movies, and what was it called?
The Growth Snatchers. That actually was not my title. I wrote the thing, and I called it The Hid End of Mount Viang Jail.
Right.
Yeah, but they didn't like that title for some reason, so it became a working title and went away. And The Growth Snatchers was the official title.
And you can go look it up on the Internet. The Growth Snatchers... and Carla Rucker, and you will find pictures of Carla in the movie. I don't think there's any of the topless pictures, so don't worry about that.
That would not be tasteful, would it?
Since when is the Internet tasteful? Okay. But so while Carla was making this movie, and she was working with a fellow by the name of Don Elkins, and they were partners, Don was doing this experiment on channeling. And he had a group of people, and different people would be bringing through messages, mostly from lower entities, earthbound entities, deceased entities, even lower celestial entities. And Don was very smart. He was a PhD. He was deep. And at one point, he asked a very profound question. And Carla conked out. She went unconscious. And this voice came through her that says, I am Ra. Because of the kind of question you've asked us, we have come forth to answer it. I'm paraphrasing, but something like that. And so for the next period of time, Carla was in a total trance, and Ra was talking through her, and Ra, and remember, Ra is a group soul. Ra is not an individual entity. It's a group energy, and it's a huge group energy. And Don started asking all these deep questions. Who are you? And they said, we are a social memory complex. That's what they call themselves. And they were describing this group soul concept, which is simply, they said it was like a whole country of beings, with, as I understood it, without bodies, pure energy. And they kind of said that they were helpers and guides for our planet. And so for the next 5 years, for 3 years, Don was interviewing Ra through Carla and came out with these five books now called Ra, The Law of One, that many people consider the epitome of channeled material, the deepest of channeled material. It's really not easy to understand, okay? It's really, really deep. You can read one page 10 times, which I've done, to finally absorb what they're really saying. And David Wilcock was very much influenced by Carla's material. And if it wasn't for Carla's material, there might not be a David Wilcock doing what he's doing now. He constantly refers to it. And, of course, I started out with David Wilcock's material, and I was reading about all his references to Carla's material, and so I started studying Carla's material. And then I wanted to meet Carla. I was trying, at that time, this was all so wild that I didn't believe it. I just said I had to investigate everything. I had to look under every turn. Because as I was studying Carla's material and reading about this group soul that was explaining that they were an oversoul for our planet and that they were very much involved in most of the positive spiritual movements on this planet, it seemed to me they were saying, they were whispering in the ears of people, and oftentimes a religion would get started. And this was like big. It was hard to believe. And so I met Carla, and I had read her books, and she was talking in Laughlin, Nevada. And I came to Laughlin to meet her. Did I tell you I was coming, or did I just show up?
Well, I invited you, but I don't think you confirmed. I think you were really surprised that I was actually inviting you. You couldn't get over it at the time because you thought, well, you know, that I wouldn't be real or something. But, you know, I said, come on in. And, you know, you brought your car. We had a great time.
And then Carla did a channeling in her hotel room. A bunch of people gathered around her. And she had a table. It was an expo. It was called the UFO Congress. And she had a table where she was selling her books. And so I offered to sit at her table for a while. And she told me that apparently I sold more books in a short while than anyone in the history of the Law of One.
Oh, absolutely. So, she would tag people on the aisle and say, you've got to read this book. they just couldn't, you know, avoid him. It was amazing.
And keep in mind, this was
a persuasive guy. Very persuasive.
This was before I met Daphne. This was way at the very beginning of my exploration of this. And when I was deciding really if I really wanted to write The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and to take the time, and did I believe it, and was it as important as I thought it might be? And so, because I met Carla, I ended up writing that book. I ended up meeting Daphne, you guys have been listening in, and you're hearing on a regular basis the results of all that. But I always think the way something gets started is very important. The way the little cogs in the wheel click together to make something happen. So, Carla, are you an expert? You know, one of the things that we were talking about on the last 2 weeks, and I had a lot of emails from people, and that were really, we didn't do channeling in the last 2 weeks. Oftentimes on Monday, I pick a topic and I ask Terry questions. But the last 2 weeks I talked, and it's interesting, I always get emails. It's when we love you. Where is Terry? Where is Daphne? You know, and so, but you know what? If you don't keep in motion, everything gets stale and frozen, and you lose the energy of it. So we were talking about worthiness, self-worth, what causes people to not feel worthy, and we had a really good talk about it. People sent me emails and got a lot out of it, and certainly I think when I met you, Carla, I don't think I was putting out a lot of self-worth, and you wouldn't say that, would you? I looked like...
No, you were very humble.
Well, no, self-worth is different than humility, okay? I mean, I think I'm still humble, but I'm able to stand in my center and be confident, whereas, you know, I spent a lot of years of my life, even when I had great things to offer, I was not able to express myself confidently, and I really learned to go through that pattern to switch it around. And what caused it? And I talked about that a couple of weeks ago. And then last week, I talked about unconditional love and what that actually was, at least from my point of view. And that, because I think when people hear the word unconditional love, and when I heard that word years ago, it sounds like you're supposed to wear your heart on your sleeve and be nice to everybody. So, at some point in this call, I was going to ask your take on this. But before I do, I would like to ask you, for all the people that are listening tonight that never heard you before, what do you think is really important about the raw material? Why should people be interested?
I think that the raw material helps most when a person does not have a religion to comfort him. If the religion has failed him and he is needing to create his spiritual path on his own, then I think the Law of One becomes very helpful because it, without being religious or dogmatic, it offers a view of who we are, why we're here, and where we're going that makes sense and gives the person a choice to make and goals to set for himself if he happens to find the Law of One material helpful. Now, that's probably the single most helpful thing about it. The Law of One material can be, you know, said in one sentence, all things are one, and that one thing is love. But when you start peeling that apart and analyzing it the way Don did, and Don, by the way, was an engineer and a physicist, so he was asking technical and scientific questions of a person who never took a technical or scientific course in her life, past Chemistry 1. But, I mean, that didn't matter because I was in a trance, so, you know, it just sailed on without me, basically. But it goes, you know, you can get
far into the details of it, and it's fascinating all the way. And I've read the Law of One daily along with the Bible and other things ever since we produced that material. And I find new things in it all the time because that material meets you where you are. And every time I get to, you know, that particular session, I'm at a different place. And so it helps me in a different way to think about things.
You know, I think... Thank you.
There you go.
Wait, somebody's muting me.
Yeah, you were dual on there on
okay.
The phone and.
Oh yeah. Okay. I think that if somebody comes from a religious tradition, what happens if it's a really good religion? Is that the loving energy passes down through the dogma or the doctrine. It's just that even if the doctrine and dogma is not right, even if it's gotten distorted, if they're in a good church and if they have the right attitude to with it, the love gets passed down. But when you try to explain that to someone in today's world who didn't come with that kind of loving energy attached to it, religion sounds like a fairy tale. It sounds like, could that be real? I mean, there was this guy, he's the son of God, everyone keeps believing in him, and what does that mean? And I would have put myself in that category when I was younger. I said, show me. I didn't come from a loving environment. I didn't get brought up in a loving religion. And I was on my own. I said, okay, figure it out. And so I was looking for things that I could believe in, that I could prove to myself. And I guess ask and you shall receive, because I see the value of the raw material. I see the value of my personal experience of how this all unfolded to me. It reaches someone, and it makes them say, maybe there really is something out there. And then they start looking for it. And, of course, the goal is to find the love, to create a community. You know, we're doing a lot of things amongst the people that are discovering me to create community amongst them. And I see how it works. And it's not religious, but then it starts, you can see how a religion develops, because once you have a loving community, other people feel it, and they want to be part of it. And they think, well, I have to believe this, this, and this, and this, if I'm going to be part of that community. And the truth of the matter is, with unconditional love, it's a vibration. It's not an acceptance or rejection. And if you're in that state of unconditional love, somebody feels the energy, and it shifts them. And they say, this feels good. This is the love that I never had in my family. This is the love that I never had as a child. This is the love I never had from my wife or my husband, you know? And suddenly, they're feeling, what does unconditional love feel like? Maybe I should say what it is, because I'm sure there's someone out there listening that is saying to themselves, I would like to feel unconditional love. Carla, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Well, in one way to put unconditional love is to say that you love people whether they love you back or not. You don't expect any return. You don't have any attachment to the outcome. You just love people. You love them at the soul level and recognize the Creator in them. When people put their hands together in the Eastern fashion and bow, it's not just a pretty gesture of hello and goodbye. It means the Creator in me greets the Creator in you. And I have always in my life had that lesson of loving somebody that and expecting nothing in return. So that, you know, my love was completely independent and strong and healthy and, you know, viable without, you know, being watered by somebody saying, you're so great, you're so terrific. And not, you know, there's no stimulus necessary whatsoever. You're loving people right out of your heart. Just love everybody. I know when I was a little kid, I used to, my mother was so embarrassed. I would, especially since I was cross-eyed, which didn't help at all. And here was this little gangly 2 or 3 year old walking on trains. You know, back in when I was little, people still rode trains. Locally as well as across the country, and mother had to take a train a lot of times to where she was going, and I would get loose from her, and I'd walk up and down the aisles talking to people. I was absolutely sure they would love me, and so naturally they did, but it was terribly embarrassing to my mother, but I think it's that kind of, I mean, it's nothing outward. It's an inward feeling. It comes from your heart. It comes from a knowing that that person that you're loving is the creator, is beautiful. And you just feel the energy from that person and let your energy flow into theirs. And let it all be free. You know, I love you for nothing. Wonderful. Once you get the hang of it. I think a lot of the problems in this world are caused by people who think that if you know, you love somebody, then they owe you, then they should love you back, or they should do this, or they should do that.
Nobody's entitled to anything,
you know. But you love who you love. And mm-hmm. I have found that I can move to a place where even the people I don't love, I love, because I'm moved to that place within me where I kneel at the cradle of Jesus, if you will, or our spiritual selves, to put it another way, that we are nursing as Mary did the baby Jesus. And it's up to us to nurse that spiritual child within so that it can grow strong, healthy, and viable in this world. And it's a difficult world to do that in. You have to, you said, when you basically have to fall in love with yourself and just rest on who you are, and well, that's it. You know, sue me. This is what you see is what you get, and then it's a wonderful thing to have that feeling and float along on the strength of the truth. That truth is that we truly are one, and we truly are all connected. And we've probably worked together in another lifetime because we've had so many, and there really aren't that many people in the universe. It's been a long life, I mean, you know, when you count all the incarnations. So, you know.
How many incarnations do you think the average person has in this world?
Oh, golly. How many do you think there are? I've never thought about that.
It depends on
what people want to do. You know, if they think, well, in my next life, what I really would like to do for my service is this, and what I would like to learn is that, and then you pick, you know, you make contracts with the people that are your mom and dad and your wife or husband and your kids and, you know, all the people in your family, the people you're working with, you know, you've made agreements with them, and a lot of them fall through. But that's okay, because redundancy is built into the system. And so you probably maybe wait sometimes until everybody is ready to make those agreements and go into an incarnation. So it'd be hard to guess, but surely it's in the thousands.
Yeah. You know, I think you're describing something that I just want to point out, because this is something I grasp now, but something I didn't grasp for years, even though I knew reincarnation was real. When you start understanding that there's time and there's timelessness, and Ra calls it space-time and time-space, in the other realms, time does not work like it does here. So when you think of thousands of lifetimes here, it seems like an incredibly long time. The fact of the matter is, you can go back into the other realms, and you move into no time, and you're just hanging out there waiting to meet the woman you loved at some other time, and she comes in, and you move out of no time, and you jump in and take a body. That's how I think it works. And so when it seems like in this realm it could have been 1,000 years in time-space, it was like a snap of the fingers. It's just, you're back, there she is again. Mm-hmm. And does that make sense to you, Carla?
1,000 ages in his sight are but a moment gone.
Yeah. So when we think of dying and time spent, and you can start to realize that, now I can't understand how that feels. I don't think anyone can. Can you do it? Can you relate to how that feels being in time space, Carla?
Oh yeah, I've been in time space. It's lovely. Anybody that's had the experience will never fear death again.
Yeah.
I've actually died and come back. So
this lifetime.
Yeah, when I was 13, actually, my kidneys failed.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't have the kind of medicines they have now. They didn't have dialysis. They didn't have transplants. None of that technology was in place in the 50s. And it was just basically, well, I don't know, she might live, she might die. Well, everybody thought I would die, but ha-ha. Fooled them. But I did actually die for about 2 minutes, according to the doctors that told my parents at the time. And they worked and worked to get me breathing again and so forth. But while that happened, I had much more than 2 minutes worth of experience. I was without any break in consciousness whatsoever. There wasn't any tunnel for me. There was no bright light. I just slipped over into, oh, I don't hurt anymore. Oh, there aren't any marks on my body. Oh, my goodness, this is so great. And I could see that all my friends were waiting for me in this. I could see the dome of a temple was over a hill, a beautiful, beautiful place, like a parkland. And I could hear music, very faint, but very full. And it sparkled in the air. Everything that made noise also made sparkles in the air. And then, unfortunately, my journey to the temple was interrupted by a voiceover. I don't know who that voiceover was, but it was sort of like, well, you know, we never do this, but since, you know, you had a worthy desire, we'll give you a choice. You can either go back for 2 incarnations and do half of what you planned for yourself in one, half of what you planned for yourself in the other, or you can get back into this body, even though it's kind of lost factory specs, you know, the no more new car smell, and see what you can do to do those things in one incarnation as you planned. And this fits for me. I was the kind of student, for instance, that would take a 21-hour course, you know, for one semester, and you're supposed to stop at 12. But I just, you know, everything looked so yummy, and I wanted to learn that and that, more of that. So it fits my basic personality that I would have planned a lot for one lifetime. Anyway, I thought about, do I want 2 lifetimes to come back, 2 more childhoods? My childhood had not been a happy one. I think I'm going to go back and give it a whirl now. And I instantly was back in that painful body, and I could see faces over me. They were working over me to try to get my heart started again. So that was my experience. Take it for what it's worth. Most people will say, well, no, that really was a dream, or that was a vision that you had because you were so ill or something like that. But you know when you're there and when you're not there, and I was there. So that was my experience of the other side, and it was a delightful experience indeed. So I really look forward to it, but not until I'm done. I am absolutely determined to finish.
You know,
the 21 hours.
You know, I have to tell you, when Carla was originally channeling the Ra material, the Ra group said they had waited 200 years to find someone or a group that they could trust enough to come through. See, one of the things about this, for those of you that want to channel or that think you want...
Hello?
When you cut out.
There you are.
Did I call again?
Or?
No, hold on. Vin dropped out.
Okay, I'll hang on then.
Yeah.
Every now and then, the conference calls drop one of us.
Okay, Vin, can you go back on your cell phone?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, this is on your cell phone. Yes.
Yeah, I'm back. Okay. I'm not as loud, but... But we'll have to go with it. Okay, let's switch to the other phone. So they waited 200 years to find a group that would hold the purity. And I was saying, people that want voices talking to them, you don't know how highly intended you need to be to not get a negative source. Almost always, if it's a game or a play toy, you'll get a negative source. And you won't know it's a negative source because they'll say anything they want. They'll say, hi, this is the Ra group. We're so glad we found you. And so don't think the channeling is something to take lightly. Both Daphne and Carla, when they first started channeling, both had what Carla calls psychic greetings, which is their way of saying negative attacks in a positive way, okay? But nonetheless, it almost killed her. And Daphne had a similar thing. You know, Daphne, you're in the background now, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
You're being quiet. And, you know, there's a lot of things here that I know you're interested in. Like, we're talking about religion and channeling, and Daphne has a background of being a Catholic. Actually, she has a background of being a Catholic, a Jew, and a Greek Orthodox. But she mostly identifies with being a Catholic. And she has had...
I think that's an oversimplification, Wynn, in all due respect. Let's just say I'm esoteric, okay?
You're esoteric. Okay. But in any case, reconciling channeling and negative attacks with religion. Is there anything you want to share or ask Carla?
It's a joy to have Carla here. I right now I'm working with the level of planetary logos, the Antakarana, and it's another level of grounding energy, and I'm very honored to do that with everybody right now. And I'm just kind of holding space here.
Yeah,
right.
you're beautiful energy, Daphne, and you truly do hold the space.
Thank you, Carla. Right. Blessings to you. And you too, Terry.
Ooh, can't you just feel the energy? Isn't that great? Thank you.
Yeah. Terry, how about you? Would you like to share anything or ask Carla anything?
It's a stabilization to have you out there, and we set up things, got things started, and made a track that made it easier for other people. And so I really appreciate that and love you.
Right back.
They constantly tell us that, even in our work, that Carla is the foundation of it. That if, you know, and I know that's true. If she didn't do what she did, none of this would be happening. And, you know, a lot of people are listening today that are fans of George Norrie's, and I hope one day you can start sending George emails. Say, we should have Carla on the line, and one day I'll bring that up to their producer, because that would be a great contribution to the world. Let's see. It's 6:51. We have about 5 minutes. Maybe, Carla, maybe I'll open up for a couple questions or comments from people that are listening. Is that okay with you?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think if you do, if someone's, I can't do this on the people listening on the radio. Well, you could actually, but get all confused because we're doing the conference line on the radio. But on the conference line, if you do *6, you'll unmute yourself. Anybody want to share anything? Anyone been influenced by the raw material? Anyone want to ask a question? *6.
And when there is a phone number for BBS that can be called in.
But you know what? It's too complicated.
Okay.
Because right now we're putting the conference call on BBS, and that solved all our problems. Remember all the problems we were having?
Hmm.
So it'll get confusing if somebody calls BBS, okay? So anyone on the conference line? Let me see if we've unmuted everybody. Are they unmuted?
They can unmute themselves. No, you're back.
Muted.
When?
Everyone,
Steve.
Everybody wants to say hello to Carla.
Hi, Carla.
Hi, Carla.
Hi, Carla.
Hello,
hi,
Carla.
Carla.
Hello, Carla.
Hello.
Hey, everybody.
Hello, Carla.
Muted.
Okay, everyone's muted again. And now, if someone wants to make a personal comment, we have about 4 minutes. Anyone with *6, and you'll be on.
Steve, can you hear Steve? Hello?
We hear
Hi.
You.
Hi, Steve. You can hear me?
Yes, we hear
Excellent.
You.
Oh, good. I am very stuck. I am stuck in fear in my house since rats bit through the water pipes last winter, and I can't get out of the fear. And I'm all alone and isolated. My dog died, and my best friend moved out of my life. What can I do to make my situation better?
In the first place, you need another dog. Definitely.
Yes.
Definitely need another dog. In the second place, you might look around and see if you would be interested in the material. I think it is in book 5 of The Law of One. I think we had kept it with personal material. But it was instructions on how to cleanse a house.
Uh-huh.
And it's very simple. You use salt and you use water, and they give very simple things to say. And you cleanse everything in the house, all the doors, all the windows, except for one entrance where, you know, you can come and go. And then everything else is cleansed, and then you have to cleanse that one place. So during the time that you've cleansed that one last place, you have to ask permission of the salt in order to enter or leave the dwelling. But it takes about 3 days for this to work, and you can really feel the energy change when you've done this. It's just a wonderful cleansing.
Does it matter that the house is in such a state of clutter and disarray since it was traumatized by the rats, and I was too, and I'm pretty crippled, a lot of pain head to toe. I can't reach all my windows physically, and there's so much clutter around. Is that adding to the negativity here? But I feel paralyzed and overwhelmed by it.
It could, but actually it depends on how you feel about yourself. If you feel that if you will declare that you are strong, and that you are capable as a person, then you can simply tell these energies to, you know, bug off and leave you alone to your life. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
You know, be indignant about it and say, no, you know, this is not my life. This is not the way my house goes. And if you could possibly afford a few bucks to scrub up the house, that would be great. Or if you could pay somebody to do the cleansing thing, you know, climb up where you can't climb. and give somebody the chance to help you. Because it's really a great service to give people a chance to be of service. And a lot of times they don't know what the heck to do.
Yeah.
So,
I miss being of service. I'm on disability now.
Let me ask you a question. What's
okay.
your name?
My name is Julia.
And what city are you in, Julia?
I am in McKinleyville, California.
McKinleyville. If anyone is in McKinleyville that wants to help Julia clean her house, send me an email. But you better send me an email too, Julia, so I can match you up.
Is this Wynn?
Yeah.
Is this Wynn? Thank you, Wynn. That was very kind of you to put that out on the air for me.
And maybe somebody would phone you occasionally and just be a friend on the phone. Somebody that's lonely.
I would love that, yes.
So if anyone wants to talk to Julia, send me an email. Send me your phone number. Now remember, you have to realize these. I don't know, I'm not qualifying these people, so
I
it doesn't work. Use your own discernment. And Julia, you send me an email. Make sure you put Julia at the top because I get a lot of emails.
Yes.
And I'll try to match people up, okay?
Thank you so much, Wynn. Thank you very much. And thank you, Carla.
Oh, bless you. Would you like me to send you an angel?
Oh, please. Yes.
All right. Let's see. All right. Who wants to go? Who wants to come and help Julia? Okay. His name is George.
Oh, it was my dad's name.
Oh.
And he was the only loving member of my family.
Well, I am so glad. Now, you be sure and ask George to come and be in your heart, because you have to ask angels to help you. They won't infringe on free will.
I have been asking, and I haven't been getting an answer, so I'm glad that you sent me one.
Just ask George, and he will be there for you, and he'll make you feel safe, and he'll make you feel loved, and that's a good beginning.
Thank you so much, because I've been feeling so alone. It just almost feels life-threatening, you know? So thank you both so much.
You're so welcome.
Okay.
Carla, I forgot about our angels. Carla sends angels to people. We did that one call, and she was sending angels to everyone on the call. We're going to have her on again. Next time, we're going to remind me, and we're going to do angels again, okay? And, Carla, I'll tell you, you know, we're talking about self-worth. And even though Julia was not feeling well about herself, she came forward and she created a lot of energy moving in her direction. And I tell you right now, there's about 100 people saying, geez, I wish I came on then. Well, next time we're on, we'll have more time for people. Because when you put your situation out into a loving space, it starts to clear it. You know, you can't just hold it all to yourself, you know?
Right, yes.
You know,
hello, Carla?
And if you let it out in the wrong place, people make it worse.
Right, right. You know, we have to get off the air.
Okay.
I'll tell you what. We're going to say goodbye to BBS, and we can stay on the line because we're all on the conference line. So we'll stay on for a few minutes more and you take a couple more questions, okay? Mm-hmm. So,
Ben, will you mention Carla, her website, please?
LLresearch.org. LLresearch.org. And I put that in the email I sent out to everybody today. And by the way, Terry and I are going to be on that Minneapolis radio show tonight in 1 hour. And I sent that information out in the email today announcing this call. We were on last week. It was the Fox News radio show, and the guy had such a good response that he's invited us back a second time.
That's great.
So listen in. You can listen in on the internet, and if you're in Minneapolis, be sure and listen in. And it's 7:00, and so goodbye, BBS. And if you want to get on the call for the last few minutes, you can. Use the phone number that came on our email and check in. And, okay, so somebody else had a question. And go ahead.
Carla,
I had a question.
I, you know what, though, when Carla, her phone line dropped out.
Carla, are you there? Hello, Carla.
She got disconnected a minute ago.
You know, maybe she thought we were disconnecting. Do you know that?
Maybe so.
Okay, anyone want to ask me a question? I'm not as good as Carla, but I'll try.
Okay, Wynn, I'll ask you a question.
My name is Peggy.
Hi, Peggy.
Can you hear me? Oh, good.
I hear you. I hear you.
Okay. Well, this actually was for Carla, but you might have the information. I have been listening to Coast, and I listened to the program that talked about all the ancient civilizations that had to go underground in our Earth because of the huge solar flares that would wipe people out if they were on top of the Earth. And so there are underground cities being found everywhere, and they are now being built again by our government. I know the Chinese government has them. And my question was, I wanted to ask the Ra group, especially because they have lived on this Earth, if they helped other civilizations during that difficult time of solar flares.
You know what? You have to submit a question like that on a Wednesday, okay?
Oh, okay.
This is not a this is like more like human to human.
Okay.
That's a channeling question.
Okay.
And,
okay. Shall I email that to you?
Yeah, but I do know that we asked a question with Terry about solar flares.
Yeah.
And they didn't see a devastating solar flare. Terry, am I right on that?
Is she there?
Terry, are you there?
Yeah, okay, I was muted. They didn't see a devastating solar flare right now. And solar flares wouldn't come in and burn up the people. They might burn up the grid, or they might have a problem with the electric wires or start some fires if it was directed straight at us. So those are the potentials.
So they would bring down the grid. They would bring down all the electricity and the grid and the Internet. we couldn't talk.
it's possible that they could do it, but it would probably be in pockets. It probably wouldn't just bring down the whole thing all over everywhere.
Well, let's put a cloud over our conference calls.
Right. Now, One of the problems with it today is you have the nuclear plants, and the nuclear plants need quite a bit of lead time to be able to shut down for the rods to cool, and so you could end up with a lot of nuclear plants going like Fukushima the grid went down.
Yeah,
and people have not thought of that generally.
That's scary.
It is.
But maybe that cloud that we send around, like yesterday, can handle things like that.
Well, you know, they definitely say it helps. They definitely say it helps.
Good.
And that, you know, I'm hoping, I mean, it's a miracle. We're having like 400 and 500 people listen to these calls now. And, you know, I could see 5,000. I could see 10,000. You know, it could be a miracle.
That's right.
I could see a million. You know, I like to tell you all that if this material is reaching you, I want to suggest don't try to explain what goes on here to anyone, but send them an email and say, this guy really influenced me, and send them to Intelligent Infinity. Let them watch my video, and certain people will come to it. And they'll be interested, they'll download the book, and then they'll call you back. And they'll be interested, what do you know about this guy? And that'll start a real dialogue. So you don't sound like you're in a cult. Because that's what happens when people talk about it. It's so far out that it sounds, they talk about it to someone else. So just be low-key and say, this guy has influenced me. You might check it out. And send them the website and leave it at that. Nothing happens. Your relationship is still intact. You didn't get in arguments. You didn't try to convince them. And that's a way you can play a part in changing the world. Easy. Everyone can do it. And if someone that you send that to actually gets it, your relationship with that person will change for the better. Do we have another question?
Thank you, Bob.
I win.
Yes, who's that?
Michael.
Michael. Hi, Michael.
A lot of what she said, like, she died a couple of times. I went through something similar. It was like, you know, when they have Marvel comics and they show this in almost flat, thin road going across space. I actually looked back and saw the Earth and jumped back. Otherwise, I'd have gone through the light. Are you there?
When?
I can hear you.
Hello?
Yeah.
Okay. In every sense then, there's been that, like in that email I sent you, that goes on, you know, with both sides, where there's that lovingness that just is expressed, and I don't see their face, but that closeness, that feeling, that emotion that just flows through and just covers me. It's just something like you never got from anyone else, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And there's people that say they feel it when I'm in their presence, so they want to be around me. So I don't know. It must be what you're talking about.
Well, you know what? You're starting to learn how to be a repeating station for the energies of the higher realms. And
yeah.
It's hard to put this in words. To say you're a repeating station, it sounds like it's not you. And in fact, it is you. But it's a higher aspect of you that you're learning to integrate into your being. And it like when you start doing that, it starts shifting the world around you. It starts shifting the people around you. Some people have that experience right away, and some people keep coming into our calls. Sometimes it might take someone 6 months to get it. You have to be patient. You have to. This is where faith can actually work, because there's so many people that are having that experience. If they're all having it, so can you. You just haven't had it yet. You have to be patient. Some people have it faster because they've done a lot of spiritual work. They've done a lot of preparation, and they're immediately ready for it. And other people are still in their karmic patterns, and it's still filling up their energy field, and they have to work through their karmic patterns, which is why we talk about things like self-worth and making yourself feel good about yourself, because you have to feel worthy of being a son of God or a child of God or a child of the universe. And when you're thinking you're totally unworthy, it's hard to have that experience. So you have to go through the human process of learning how to feel worthy. And it's not a mental process. It's something beyond that. So we try to give tips on that through our stuff. And thank you, Michael, for sharing. Anyone else want to say anything, comments about Michael, what Michael was saying? Terry, Daphne? No. Okay, anyone else? We have another one.
Star this is
Janice. Is that Janice in Reno?
Yes.
Hi, Janice.
I wanted to say that what Carla was saying about the Law of One books and how they relate to people that don't necessarily follow a religion is totally spot on, because I completely understood all five books when I read them. And just, I recommend that anybody else that's listening try to read them. They might be hard, but there's very, very, really deep, and they really, really help.
Yeah. People who are older souls immediately tap into it, because on a certain level, you already knew those things. It's like, but no one ever said them before, and they're so crazy that you can't have the thoughts in your mind. But when you've had a lot of past lifetimes, and it kind of puts it together, and I think our Elohim book does the same thing. You start to see yourself as a continuum, and how the universe works, and it starts to make sense. Many people send me emails say, this makes more sense than religion, for example. And that doesn't mean that religion doesn't work. But this is more with real events, real facts, real things that happen in people's lives. Voices talking through people. Where do they come from? And you have to integrate if it's real or not, because it's hard to integrate when you're first exposed to it. But thank you for sharing, Janice. Anyone else?
Six. This is Steve. Can you hear me?
Steve.
Can you hear Steve, Wynn?
Steve? Is that Steve Zarpus?
Yes, it's Steve Zarpus.
Yeah, hi, Steve.
This has been an awesome call, and I just wanted to mention something on a personal level. When you mentioned Daphne and the different churches and whatnot, this might she might feel this. When I was in Greek Orthodox Church on Sunday, the typical architecture has a colonnade at the top of a dome, and there's windows, and I just happened to be sitting in a spot where a single spotlight, a beam of light came down, and I was at that moment praying for Daphne, just trying to send her as much love as I could. I can't imagine being in that position of having those psychic friends drop by, or however Carla put it so well. So just so she knows, we're thinking of her and love her and appreciate that, and it goes double for Terry, too.
You know, I forwarded one of your emails to Daphne, and she loved it. Are you on the line, Daphne?
I am, and I would like... I'm sorry, what is your name?
That's Steve. Steve. He had that
Steve.
Poem at
yes,
the bottom of his email.
I do remember you, and Stephen, I resonated. I didn't have your email because Wynn forwarded me your message but neglected to give me your email. I resonated very, very strongly with your wonderful email and your poetry, and I do feel that I'm receiving your healing connection. I've made, with the help of some wonderful light workers, I've made tremendous strides with some very, very profound planetary integration over the course of the last few days, and I do believe that on a level of sacred architecture, and working through the levels of the planetary logos right now, we are actually with this group and with the work of Carla and with the work of Terry, all of these people, everyone here, we all have tremendously bold and multidimensional pieces of a huge cosmic tapestry that we're bringing together at this very moment. And we are refashioning it and refabricating it in a higher multidimensional octave. And I'd like to express my sincere appreciation to you for that communication. And thank you so much. And I welcome correspondence with you. I ask Wynn for my email. Thank you. Blessings.
Okay, we'll do that. And do we have anyone else? Thank you, Steve. Anyone else would like to